is Day One Update. My name is Gregorio, and I'm joined by my two friends.
Hi, I'm Ayer.
Hi, I'm Golazar.
Yes. And today we have quite a few topics. Well, this is our first episode back, so we have quite a few things to talk about. And one of the first things being is we just watched John Wick. We decided to try starting this again like a couple of weeks ago, and I was wondering what would be a good first episode, and then I remembered, hey, John Wick's coming out in like 2 weeks, so we waited until then.
John Wick Chapter 4.
Yeah, John Wick Chapter 4, not the first one. not the first one. John Wick Chapter 4.
This episode was recorded in 2016.
And we just watched it yesterday. I watched it twice myself, and Golazar and Ayer watched it once. We had an interesting situation come up while we were watching the movie. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that now, or if you guys just want to go into the movie and about what we thought about the movie. What
do you guys think? The movie is great.
Yes.
Movie is pretty good. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So, I know Golazar's main complaints are probably going to be dialogue, because that's his complaint like 90% of the time.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't go into this expecting, you know, a Shakespeare or anything. One of the complaints I did have was the dialogue, but it's not the main complaint. And I wouldn't even say it's a complaint. But
so I was sitting beside him, and I've seen him a few times, like when they would talk and say their lines, I would see Golazar go like if you don't, you can't see me, but I'm like rolling my eyes.
Here's the thing. There were a lot of idioms, and a lot of them had to do with life and death. Death and life.
That's true for all the movies, though. I feel like had an idiom.
I feel like this one took it to the level of, like, you know, Kingdom Hearts talks about light, darkness, and light. They did that constantly. How much spoilers are we going to get into this?
I don't think we should go into massive spoilers. I think we could talk about a few things.
Minor spoiler that at one of the last scenes, one of the pieces of dialogue is, "Those who cling to life die. Those who cling to death live." And I'm just sitting there, kind of going like, this was a really great scene. Why would you have to add? Why did you feel compelled to add that?
I thought it was great.
Yeah, the whole movie's like that. It's just based around like this grungy, edginess of
here's the thing. Good movie. Like, I'm happy I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, you're not going to the movie for the dialogue. You're going for the
See, I
amazing
feel like,
choreography.
I feel like Gerkmel here kind of threw me under the bus, because now people are going to be thinking, why did this guy go to the John Wick for the dialogue? It's like, no, that's not what happened.
Yes, everyone email us yelling at Golazar for criticizing this movie for dialogue.
I could have written it better.
Either way, this movie is basically all action. It's all fighting, all like nonstop action from beginning to end, basically. So obviously the dialogue's not going to be the biggest part of it, but the action itself was fantastic. So in my opinion, the cinematography of this movie and how they filmed the action was way better than the other movies. They did a lot more creative shots, I think, with the cinematography in this movie than they did with any other movie.
Definitely, and each action scene was a lot longer, too. It wasn't just like, all right, shoot, all right, kill the guy, that guy's dead, boom, all right, done. Moving on to the next thing. And it's like each set piece of action was a long thing, right? And so it was cool.
I think there were probably about like 4 pauses throughout the entire movie between action moments.
Yeah, right? And then like it wasn't a consistent flow of like high speed action. They had slow moments, fast moments, like mixed, right? Which was really good, right? The pacing of all the action scenes was really good.
So usually when I go into these type of movies, like you guys know, I don't really watch trailers, and I don't really keep up with too much news outside of the announcement on like the first trailer. So I didn't know anything about who was cast in this movie other than Donnie Yen. And that was like my 90% of my excitement for the movie went up because the fact that Donnie Yen's watching, because I love Donnie Yen. I loved all of his movies.
Yeah.
And knowing that he was in it was one of the main reasons I really wanted to watch this movie. I was so surprised though when I saw Bill Skarsgård playing the main villain in the movie. I didn't know that he was in the movie at all.
He wasn't the villain.
The French guy.
Yeah, those were the main guy.
So I was watching that movie going like, is that Sebastian Stan? No. I think it is. Does he have a brother?
It's the guy who plays It.
Yeah, Pennywise.
The Pennywise, not It. Plays Pennywise in It. And then there's also Hiroyuki Sanada. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
You definitely butchered that.
Yes. But the guy from, he was in Rush Hour 3. He's a really well-known, out of all movies I listed, is Rush Hour 3.
But Rush Hour 3 is amazing. He's a
well-known Japanese action actor. And then we also had, who was the guy from Detroit Become Human. I don't know he was in it at all.
Clancy Brown.
Yeah, I was watching the movie for like 30 minutes. So I was like, this guy looks so unbelievably familiar. And then I clicked for me that it was Detroit Become Human. But all the performances in this movie, I thought were great. Like Bill Skarsgård, I honestly, when I was watching the movie, I thought throughout the movie that this guy could be a pretty good Joker. I actually really liked his performance. What do you guys think?
Specifically Bill Skarsgård?
Anyone in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, no complaints. I mean, Donnie Yen, obviously, just the best. I will say I was rooting. There was one character who I didn't expect I'd be rooting for over Donnie Yen, and that was Mr. Nobody.
Yeah, I forgot about him too.
He is probably my favorite character.
Yeah,
every time he's on the screen, it's just like he doesn't fit in the narrative. Like he doesn't have the background of the characters. He's just some guy who just stumbled in. And he's like, hey, I'm looking for a job.
Yeah, he was pretty much like just kept pushing himself into the situation to try to get involved or like trying to get the best outcome out of it for himself.
He needs that 401k contribution.
Yeah, the 401k contribution. That was hilarious. That was completely unexpected that came up.
I feel like I should also mention the reason why I only said it was pretty good. It's just in comparison with the other John Wick films, because I do think I like the third one better.
Really?
Personally, yeah. Like specifically the choreography in this movie, good, obviously, mm-hmm. like fantastic. But I felt like there was a different level of my preference in terms of everything in the Osaka set piece in the beginning, like the first third, fantastic. I absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. The mix between like the gunplay and the archery, and anything to do with like John Wick actually coordinating or like teaming up with another assassin to like take on enemies. I'm mm-hmm. always a sucker for that.
Yeah,
I feel like the third one was more fun and better. Like I still think my favorite scene is like getting stabbed with the knife, pulling it out, like constantly desperately throwing it back and forth. I think that's still my favorite scene of all four of the movies.
Yeah, the knife throwing scene in that movie was iconic.
But then by the end, it got a little bit, I don't want to say exhausting, but there were a lot of like, oh yeah, John just gets hit by a car, but then he gets hit by another car. Then he gets hit by another car, and mm-hmm. then he gets hit by another car, and then he falls out of a building and gets hit by a car. And
there's a lot of cars in this movie. A
lot of cars.
Well, there was a part where
the whole car chase scene was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really like how you gonna do a gunfight and a car chase scene in one thing? Like, and the pacing of it, it was perfect.
Yeah,
I think that's how you do a fighting car chase scene.
Exactly. In terms of like an action movie, it was paced the way I would want it to be paced. One thing I did want to bring up though, I don't know if you guys noticed, it popped in my head instantly when I saw the scene. Do you remember the scene in the building when it was like kind of like an overhead camera shot?
Oh yeah, Hotline Miami.
Hotline Miami, that exactly. It was 100% inspired by Hotline Miami.
That one is really good.
Even like the Dragonfire guns and stuff like that, it had that full aesthetic of the brutalness of like Hotline Miami.
It was straight up somebody behind the movie was playing a game like Hotline Miami or actually playing Hotline Miami. It was like, you know, it'd be sick. We gave John a flamethrower shotgun thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty inspired by a lot of things, games, pop culture, and mm-hmm. like shows and animes. Like there's one thing, but I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah, you can't say it because it's kind of spoilery. Yeah, right? You could say like what show it is.
I don't think you can.
No, yeah,
I
don't think it'd be a straight up spoiler.
I think people would put that.
You don't specify the point.
I think people would put that together a bit too quickly.
Yeah. Either way, what actually happened while we watched the movie was very interesting. So right when we got to the climax scene.
About
30 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah, it was
less than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Instantly, power went out. And we all sat there for like 5 minutes in complete darkness, wondering what the hell happened. And then a guy comes in, he's like, hey, we had a major power outage. Everyone please evacuate as we all leave.
And we didn't evacuate. We were like the last ones to leave, and then power came back on.
Power came back.
So we're like, all right, I guess we'll sit back down. But the movie never showed.
Yeah, the IMAX projector stopped working, so then we took a bit of an intermission break, went to go have dinner. And we came back and sat in.
We just asked them, hey, can we walk into a showing that's already in progress so we can watch the last half hour?
Yeah, that's literally what we did.
And so when did we come in again? We came in at the... We essentially watched the car scene twice, the car chase.
Yeah, it was basically twice. That. It was like about 30, 40 minutes...
Before that.
Yeah. It sucks, though, because when we sat down to watch it, we had to sit in those front rows so the entire time.
Oh yeah,
I'm like going back.
Yeah, but it was still worth it. I thought the movie ended off great.
Honestly, yeah. I didn't even realize it until you mentioned it, Eric, because you were sitting beside me. It sounded better than the IMAX.
Yeah, yeah, there was something wrong with the speaker than the IMAX.
Yeah, I think
way too much bass.
I think that's another reason why I was a little bit off put.
Yeah,
because the bass sort of drowned out a lot of it. Not just like the dialogue, but just the music of it. Like a lot of the action, all I heard half the time was the bass. Even when somebody was talking, just the dialogue of somebody's bass would overtake what they're actually saying.
I think it was just the IMAX mix, because like the bass definitely helped. Like it was amazing. Like every gunshot, everything, like you felt it. But as soon as somebody spoke, it was just muffled.
I feel like the gunshot sounded pretty damn good in the regular 2D follow-up screening as well.
Yeah, it did. But like just the IMAX sound, right? It, like the way it hits you, it just, I'm like, how am I supposed to recreate this at home, right? But yeah, for the mixing for the IMAX, it might not be true for everywhere. But yeah, it definitely muffles the voices to the point where it just sounds like Bane.
Yeah, the speakers are like massive. They're huge speakers, right? Like they're like the size of a car. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's hanging above us.
And Keanu Reeves got thrown into one. Yeah.
But yeah, it was. IMAX is extremely loud, and that's like the purpose they're trying to do, because they're trying to make it more immersive. But sometimes it kind of drowns out a lot of the other sounds in the movie. But
do you feel like this is a sort of trend that people are noticing more, or it's happening more often in theaters? Because I do know when Tenet was coming out, the big complaint was nobody can hear a damn thing because the sound mixing was awful, like a lot of Nolan films. But ever since they were talking about Tenet, like the internet, we're talking about Tenet. I've heard a lot more people actually considering that or taking that into consideration when they're talking about their theater experience for a bunch of movies. Like I've saw people talking about it with like even Ant-Man Quantumania, right?
I think that's the case for a lot of movies now. A lot of people are saying that like they have to put subtitles on a lot now because dialogue is a lot quieter than a lot of the actual sound effects and background noise.
I remember watching something, I can't remember now. There was a reason for it, right? But with Nolan's case, it's Nolan's different, just, right? Because like of how he mixes it. And plus, he doesn't like miking his actors, right? Which is a big problem.
I don't know. Right? Does he also like not do ADR? Because it's not just Tenet, obviously. Yeah, I remember watching Interstellar in the first maybe weekend or something like that. And I was just kind of like, yeah, music sounds amazing. Everything's great. I missed a lot of the dialogue, though. So I don't know if these are plot points or just stuff that I straight up
missed. It's definitely the Nolan effect for how he does his audio mixing,
yeah.
Right? But with John Wick, that wasn't the case. Because like, the audio was perfectly clear when we watched it regular thing, right? It was just like the IMAX version of it. So it was just too much bass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what you were mentioning about the subtitle stuff, like I'm somebody who always puts on subtitles, but not because I necessarily feel like I need it. But it's more so, I just like seeing I just like reading it while I'm watching something.
I hate subtitles.
But nowadays there are some situations where, like I was watching the latest Mandalorian episodes, and one of the episodes I felt like, oh wow, it's a good thing I have subtitles on because I can't hear a single thing that people are saying. And I have a pretty, like, I just bought like a sound bar and stuff, so I'm not using my TV speakers. So I was wondering, hey, is there some like weird mixing with that? So I turned off my sound bar, played it off my TV speakers. Like, oh wow, this sounds even less audible, the dialogue.
There's a lot of times where even when I'm watching movies here, I find myself putting the volume up when there's dialogue and putting it down when there's like action scenes or anything like that, because they're so extremely loud compared to dialogue.
Yeah, and the auto volume stuff that is built into TVs and stuff always kind of suck.
Yeah, they don't really work well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it twice. So I saw the movie originally in Landmark, and then I saw it in IMAX at Cineplex. If you don't know, Landmark's like a small theater chain here in Canada. They
I wouldn't say they're small. They're smaller.
Smaller than Cineplex.
Yeah,
like they're mostly in small towns. They're not really in big towns. Yeah,
Cineplex is like the big AMC chain, the big monopoly.
Yeah, so like Cineplex usually has the latest technology. Well, Landmark is a bit more of a smaller theater chain compared to it. So their screen is obviously not IMAX, and their speakers are obviously not IMAX speakers. So I saw it twice. I saw it the day before and the day after.
What's better experience?
IMAX was obviously the better experience.
Really? And yeah. I'm including everything like the seats. The seats,
like the Landmark has those full recliner seats. Those are awesome, and they're very comfortable to watch a movie. But when it's a movie like this, where like there's a constant action, there's constant like these cool camera shots and scenes where you're following the car driving, or like the above overhead shot action fight scene, like those were incredible to watch in IMAX, even though we watched it in regular because we had to watch it after. Like those scenes were just amazing to watch in IMAX. Like it was a completely different experience. Landmark is more casual watching, when IMAX is more like you want to be into it.
So it's funny you say that, because I remember watching No Way Home in Landmark. Mm-hmm. Not in IMAX or anything like that. It was just a regular 2D showing with regular speakers in Landmark. And honestly, even though that is like super action set piece, I don't know if it's just because it's a super CG heavy movie, I was more than happy watching it at Landmark. I never once went, I regret not watching this IMAX. I should have waited for IMAX. Like, no. It's...
Yeah, like... But after I watched it, I was not like disappointed. I really liked it still. Mm-hmm. But then since I watched it in IMAX right after, that's when I noticed.
Yeah. But a movie like Dune, however, I would never want to watch Dune outside of IMAX. Like both times I saw Dune was, watching in IMAX, 100% the way to go.
Mm-hmm. IMAX is, for some movies, it's really good. A lot of movies are picking it up.
Yeah, too. I feel like there's very few movies that deserve IMAX. But we typically just watch IMAX movies anyways.
Yeah, like stuff designed for IMAX, like shot in IMAX, obviously is the go-to. But anything, I guess, what's the term, upscaled or retrofitted for IMAX screens or something like that?
Not really. Like IMAX is like a certification type thing that you can give to your movie. So usually when a movie says IMAX, they usually only like 30-20% are filmed with IMAX cameras.
Yeah.
The rest of it's regular. So that's when you notice like aspect ratio changes and stuff. But like before in the early days, if a movie even only has like 10% IMAX, it'll say made for IMAX.
Yeah.
Even though it's only 10%.
No, but what I mean is like specifically, so Marvel movies, for example, if you go on like Disney Plus, they have a section that's the IMAX.
That's totally different though.
Yeah, because it's essentially they crop it in to match the IMAX aspect ratio. And then the actual theater release, they crop it in even further just to make it seem like it was all filmed with IMAX cameras.
IMAX enhanced.
It wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, because IMAX can only really be given because it's the whole thing. The whole theater has to be IMAX certified, right?
Yeah.
So, like, this from the sound, the seating, and the placement of the seats, and, like, the screen as well. Everything has to be IMAX certified, even though...
So, when you watched John Wick, what was it about the IMAX experience that was better than Landmark? Like, was it specifically the visuals or the audio or what?
It's both.
The sound is
right?
big because Landmark has quieter speakers. Like Aaron mentioned this the first time I took him to a Landmark theater. He even said himself, like, these speakers are pretty quiet compared to IMAX speakers, and they are. They're a lot quieter. So in certain cases, it's good. For the casual movies, it's really good. But a movie like this, where it has a lot of booming things.
Well, yeah, when you go to Landmark, you're not paying for the movie. You're paying for the experience of the seats and, like, the food and whatever, right? Just, like, but, yeah, like, because the speakers weren't great.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why we typically go to IMAX, right? IMAX, you get the bigger aspect ratio, right? You get the sound, right? And so IMAX movies are just typically better to watch. But like the case with the audio, like that was the one big downside of it.
It was like an edge case, not the standard.
It all depends on how they mix the movie, right? Because like sound engineer only got so much time to make the movie and so much budget. They can't mix the audio for every use case.
Yeah.
Right. So they probably have a theater version of the audio, right? And that's spread across every type of theater audio system across the world, right? So that includes IMAX, that includes AVX, that includes regular movies, that includes Landmarks, right? It's just probably the same audio mix, right? So they're trying to hit the most amount of what the average person has, even for Blu-rays, right? A lot of people don't have 7.1, 7.2 surround systems, right? So they'll mix the audio for 5.1 and stereo, right? Because those are the two common ones, right? So even if you're watching a movie at 7.1 and then you watch it on 5.1, you may not notice a difference, right? So they're just trying to hit the average listening experience,
Like, to most people won't notice the difference in 7.1, 5.1 at all ever, because it's just like they're not used to that type of thing. Like, most people usually only have two speakers, their TV speakers or a soundbar, right? So, like, even like my friends, he's building a stereo system right now, and I told him, like, what type of speaker orientation, like, speaker setup do you want? Do you want 5.1? Do you want 7.1? Or do you want, like, just two speakers, right? A soundbar. He's like, I did not know that you can have more than two speakers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, a lot of people don't know that you can have multiple speakers. And when I told him 7.1, he's like, this is ridiculous. Like, right. This is overkill, right? Like, some people won't notice.
A lot of people aren't like me with 7.1 and just going now for Atmos, getting another four speakers.
Yeah. To be fair, soundbars have gotten really good now.
So they're okay.
Depends on the room, right? Like, I guess.
For the price, I got soundbar. Which, like, a soundbar and sub setup that was only $450, and they're good. But if I wanted to spend more, not only would I have to, like, move rooms, but I'd spend a lot more.
Which one did you get?
I got a Polk Mini, Magnify Mini AX. So it has, so it's just a soundbar, like a, it's only like 26 inches, which is like the main reason I got it. It has to, like, fit on my table or on my desk, and it had a sub. And it has support for, like, Dolby Atmos, but there's no upward firing.
It came speakers. With a sub?
Yeah. That's why I got it.
Is it wireless or wired?
Wireless.
Okay.
My speaker was tiny. I didn't think, like, it came with a sub.
Yeah. No, like a separate sub, like a wireless sub that's under my desk. And it says Dolby Atmos, which technically does support it, but there are no upward firing speakers.
So on it's just virtual.
Bar. Yeah, it's virtualized. So the upward firing speakers are meant for, like, sound coming overhead. So in the movie, let's say there's a helicopter flying over the protagonist or whatever, then it would sound like there's a helicopter above you. This one is very limited because it's just trying to fake that experience.
This is no longer a John Wick podcast, by the way.
Welcome to an audio, technical audio podcast by three people who are not audio engineers.
Exactly. Yeah. So take our opinions with a grain of salt.
But yeah,
I mean, I probably have the most experience when it comes to sound, but yeah.
but even before that, like, I literally bought my soundbar like a week ago, and I had literally no soundbar and was just using TV speakers for like 2 years. Even before I got my my OLED TV in my room, I was still just using those, my $100 TV that I had in my room, I was still using those TV speakers for everything.
How close do you usually sit when you...
Right up. So my desk is about 3 feet from the wall, or like my chair is rather 3 feet from the wall. So I'm pretty damn close enough to use like headphones, obviously, but I don't like wearing headphones. Yeah. So
neither do I. I'm thinking of getting soundbar in this room as well. Like, obviously you guys can't see the room, but this is my game room that we're recording in. And like, I'm on the fence whether to get like the virtual 5.1.
Speaking of which, game room. Would you like to watch us play games and talk about them? And so let us know on our send us an email. Let us know.
I need to buy Resident Evil 4 Remake and expense it somewhere. So please say yes, and then I can send you the invoice, right, Gerkwell? You're gonna pay. That's how expensing things for work.
Yes, means, expensing means I pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you are the boss here now. So,
well, not really.
I also need a copy.
See, me and Gurx are partners, and then Gulzar is the.
So you
employee.
Pay for everything, basically.
Because that's how it works.
So, I get my benefits, I get my dental for you guys.
You're a contractor, you don't get any of that.
I'll do your dental. That's your dental for you. I'll just come at you with a
sandpaper
toothbrush.
Brush and sandpaper.
I'm sure we can. Get a set of pliers somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Do that tooth extraction that we've been talking about.
Don't worry, I watched John Wick. I know how to do this.
Yeah, there is tooth extracting in John Wick Chapter 4. Yes. Back to the podcast. What a segue.
I'm a professional.
Yeah, so I mentioned before, I didn't know the casting. I did not know who that guy was. Like, the guy that got his tooth punched out.
The German.
Yeah, the German. Until the credits rolled and I saw Scott Adkins. Like, you guys don't know, Scott Adkins is like a really, he's pretty well known doing like
martial arts
movies in the West here. I did not notice it was him until the credit came up, and I still didn't notice. I had to look it up, and I'm like, oh, is that guy?
The makeup was really good, and the fat suit's really good too.
It makes sense that he was actually good at fighting, because it was Scott Adkins. But that was a shock to me. I did not expect that.
Speaking of that scene, so I was telling it this, I was talking to Air about this in the car before. I have a theory that I made in after watching the third one. I'm pretty sure the world of John Wick, it takes place in a world where assassins are just like a regularly accepted day-to-day thing. So cuz I remember in that nightclub scene, there were a bunch of people who who look over their shoulder, they see John shooting somebody or getting an axe to their back or whatever, and going, huh. And then I go right back to dancing. And the only reason why the entire club freaked out is because, oh, the owner of the club just got murdered. We should probably get out of here. I saw
a guy shrug. Like, as someone is getting shot, you're just like, oh, okay. And then they just go back to dancing. I'm like,
even the beginning of the car chase scene, there were a bunch of people at the, sitting on the cafe or whatever, and John would, cross the street and then see a couple people and then turn around, and, they were starting to, shoot each other in the middle of the street and, throw each other into cars. Mm-hmm. And people were just sitting at the cafe looking over and not reacting, not freaking out. Just... So I'm pretty sure in that world of John Wick, it's like, you know how in Marvel or DC world where it's like, oh yeah, sorry boss, I can't come into work on time because the subway's late. An assassin hijacked the bullet train. It's like, Johnson, you made that excuse 3 times this month. Get your ass here right now.
It has to be because throughout the entire movie, there's been extended fights in a certain location and there hasn't been any emergency services or anything called.
Yeah, there's been one instance where I remember seeing cops.
That was the first
in movie. The very first movie when they knock on John's door and it's like, are you back, sir?
I think he only responded because there was fire.
The first movie really made it seem like it was a secret organization, mm-hmm. right? And then comes the third movie and it's like a global thing, right? And now the fourth one, it's just like, everybody and their dog is an assassin.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a concierge in Canada somewhere?
Maybe. There's the continental Canadian version. Run by... I don't know.
The Vancouver... Welcome to the Vancouver concierge. It's an Airbnb because it's just too damn expensive.
Well,
to have anything bigger.
That was the New York continental, right? The other one was the Osaka continental. So I'm pretty sure every state and province, whatever, across the world's got its own continental.
In the movie, there was an Italian one.
Yeah.
There was one... I forgot what country it was. It was an Arabian country.
Welcome to the Newfoundland and Labrador St. John Continental.
It's literally a house with two people in it. It's no one there. Yeah, I forgot which movie it was. The third one or the second one? I think it was the second one. Remember when John Wick got excommunicated, and then when they announced that he was excommunicated, everyone turned and looked at him?
Yeah. That was the end of the second one.
Yeah, that kind of cemented everyone is involved with the underworld in some way, and everyone's aware of the underworld.
Yeah, I mean, there's a radio station. There are technically radio stations you can have, quote unquote, in secret. But the way I interpreted that scene is, there's a radio station that anybody can just tune in if they're so inclined to make a little bit of money. There's an assassination radio station that they can.
That was the coolest thing, though. That was
cool. It was a bounty station, similar to the way you see in How People.
Yeah, basically.
Right,
but just on the radio.
Yeah. That was the coolest way to do it because all the other movies, it was just text messages.
Yeah, and it's a Paris specific radio station, not a global one.
Uh huh. And they would play music, and then they would sort of in keywords and
Sometimes they were very subtle, and then sometimes they were very blatant. Like, the man in black was spotted here. Let's paint him in red.
Let's paint him. Yeah,
I'm like, okay, I guess the nuance is out the window.
I wonder if there's a casual listener be like,
a couple hours later, the host is going to be so fed up that he's still alive and just like, just murder him already. What the hell are you waiting for?
Be like, oh damn, this is a very heavy metal radio station. Yeah, one thing. So I didn't know that Donnie Yen was supposed to be blind in this movie. I was sort of semi-disappointed that he was blind.
I thought he did it great.
But then after a while, it warmed up. He did fantastic. The little doorbell things, that was so cool.
Yeah.
Even though it was only used once.
And he was very playful with it too, right?
Yeah.
He was just he, tripping over stuff and
he wasn't like, oh, I have the force in Rogue One that I can sense where everything is. No, he was stumbling and all right, I gotta look for a wall to hide behind while I'm murdering all these people and stuff.
He just was really good at balancing himself when he does those little stumbles.
Yeah.
Even when people were handing him stuff and they had a tray, he would hit the tray, right? Ding, and then they're like, oh shit, there it is. Then he would grab the thing that he was supposed to get.
Yeah.
So he did a really good job at it. I just was disappointed because I was they kind of handicapped him by making him blind, but it didn't seem that way. He was still an impossible person to fight against.
Yeah. He's like the top assassin up there with John Wick.
Still using guns somehow. Yeah. You're just like...
So I did find out, apparently, when he was cast, he was originally a blind Asian Kung Fu master called Sheng or Feng or something like that. And he wore like stereotypical Asian clothes. And Donnie Yen essentially on his first day is like, hey, I ain't doing this. You're going to give me, if I'm in a John Wick film, I'm going to dress up in style. You're going to give me a suit and my name's not going to be Zhang or Shang or whatever. Give me a cool name. And the director's like, sure, all right. Because none of that stuff happened to be like anything about his character, right?
No, like, he was just a regular dude that was blind.
Yeah. And even in Rogue One, apparently he was casted as the super serious blind master who like is just super cool and stoic and the very generic blind master. And he's like, can I improv? Can I just make jokes? And nobody said no. So then we had the best character in Rogue One.
Yeah. Even his fighting style, it wasn't like typical Kung Fu fighting style.
No,
he
was fighting like a blind John Wick.
Yeah. Like
he did have that one moment where it was very like IP man. Right, and it was like a callback to like his thing, which was great. I loved it.
He did those quick punches. Yeah, the quick and then punches. He follows it up with a straight up Donkey Kong punch to his face,
which was great.
All of his scenes were great. I honestly was so excited when
the whole world and universe of the show, the movie is really good. So we know that there's more coming out, which was recently announced. They have a prequel show.
Yeah, right? On Winston.
Yeah.
When he started the Continental, basically. Yeah. And then there's also a spinoff with Ana de Armas.
Yep.
Where it's called Ballerina.
The Ballerina, yeah.
I thought it would be the same family that John Wick from, because in the other movie, when he goes to the family, there were a bunch of ballerinas.
From Belarus?
There.
Yeah.
But the symbol she had on her wrist in the poster is different. So I guess she's in a different group.
Yeah.
But it'll be pretty cool.
The sad part is, for the prequel series, no Lance Reddick. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Because I'm pretty sure he would have been in that show, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. I wonder how they would go about that now.
I wonder if it's going to be pre-Continental.
Well, it'll probably be when I don't think Ian McShane is going to be in it as Winston. They're going to have a younger actor. So it's probably before even Charon's involvement in the story.
It's a short series though. I think I only said like three parts or something, right?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. So obviously that makes sense as a prequel of a character that's already established. Mm-hmm. But that ballerina thing, how you mentioned, it's probably going to be like a different family.
No, that's going to be a movie.
No, yeah, but that's what I mean. I'm happy it's a different family and not going to be tied to like an established group of characters or an established family, because that'll make the world seem a lot smaller.
But that's not a prequel.
No, I know. I'm just saying I'm happy it's not connected to like the John Wick, specifically John's Russian family or whatever, because it'll make everything seem too small and too interconnected. So it's cool to see completely new families or completely new like possibly countries that we've never touched before. Otherwise, it's going to be Star Wars.
This movie took place over like 5 different countries.
Yeah, because otherwise it's going to be like Star Wars, how everything
America, Japan, everything France. They were in some like Middle Eastern country too.
Yeah. All the other movies were in different countries too. There's one in Italy.
Yeah.
There was one in the Middle Eastern countries. There was a bunch of different spots. It's pretty much worldwide. I wonder if there's like an Indian continent. I want to see that.
Yeah. I wonder who. It's good. The guy's probably going to have scimitars as his weapon, you know.
Scimitars and flutes that control snakes.
Just as soon as they went to the Middle Eastern, mm-hmm. you got the same Middle Eastern music with the vocals, and it's just like, all right, let's go.
Have you seen those TikToks of like whenever a Hollywood character comes in the Middle East, and it's always like the same music? It's like, welcome, my American friend.
Yeah.
So one thing about the movie that I found kind of weird in the beginning, the suits obviously are bulletproof, but they're like extremely bulletproof. Like he can hold it up like this, and the bullet will just bounce off the suit without any.
I kept going like, why not just make a hood
repercussion
or like make the jacket longer so he can like cover his whole face, like his whole head.
I mean, because that'd be weird, right?
You can just see the sparks coming off.
You have to be walking through public now if you're wearing a full on hood suit in public.
Keep Yeah, here's the thing. People in public don't care that, because clearly if you're getting in gunfights and stuff, they are just sitting having dinner.
So I have a feeling that the suits, they're, first of all, they're really expensive to create, right? And so only a certain caliber of assassins get them. Because when we went to France, right, and all those assassins tried killing John, none of them had bulletproof suits on.
They could have had like bulletproof toques.
None of them did. Because as soon as he shot them, they went down.
Some of them did survive gunshots. So
yeah, when they were getting shot in the arm and stuff, right? It was only the people, anybody wearing a suit, right, was of somebody of value, right? They were the only ones taking gunshots.
Yeah.
Right. And then in Japan, we had the guys in full armor, head to toe, right? And they became impossible to kill.
But what the surprising thing I found is, so the people with suits, they didn't react at all to gunshots.
Yeah.
Like, it would bounce off them. Like,
yeah.
Like, ting, ting, whatever. They would go about without flinching or anything. But the guy in armor, when they would get shot sometimes, they'd go like, oh,
yeah, they would fall back. And stuff, like, yeah.
Your thick armor cannot compare to the suits that these guys are wearing.
Yeah. And the suits would be a lot more painful because, yes, okay, if it is Kevlar, it'll stop the bullet, but that's still going still in goes, you.
Yeah. So yeah, because I remember seeing John like getting literally ping pong between cars, like going full speed on the like a highway, and him just kind of like getting, oh, I bruised my arm a little bit. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's how Kevlar works.
Yeah, but that's like the typical like anime fight thing where they get thrown to a building,
through four walls. Yeah, and then they're just like, oh, I got a little bit of a nosebleed.
Yeah.
The thing I liked about it though is it kind of gave excuses to use melee combat weapons, because in a lot of cases you had to.
Yeah, because you could still pierce the armor.
Yeah, you had to get up close and personal in a lot of situations, so that's where we got like all the swords and all like
they're
knife stabbing and like the like a lot of the grappling techniques they were doing to get around and go around the suit in terms of puncturing or shooting. It was
There were a couple instances where I was wondering. So like obviously if you have like a knife and stuff, you can go for the neck or for the head or whatever. There were a couple instances where, all right, this guy's suit is bulletproof, I'm going to grab a knife and stab him through the suit, and it worked. And I'm like, that's weird.
I guess I don't know how it worked. I'm not obviously,
you're not a Kevlar suit scientist.
But like, I don't know how puncture works. Like, there's a lot of knife.
It would go through, right? Because even Kevlar is a fabric, right? So yes, you can get a suit that's like stab resistant and stuff, right? But like, that's why they use knives and stuff, because it would just pierce through the fabric, right? Like, whereas a gunshot doesn't really pierce, right? As more so, it's taking everything with it, right? What's that YouTube channel that makes DIY stuff?
Yeah, I was gonna talk about the Hacksmith.
Hacksmith, yeah, they just made a John Wick suit.
They made a John Wick suit, and like in that suit, they were doing a bunch of tests with it.
Yeah,
again, the bullets, the Kevlar would stop it, but he put clay behind the Kevlar to see the back
the depth that happens,
and it was like a hole in the clay. Right, so like obviously
that's why you get broken bones and stuff like that, and internal bleeding still, even if the bullet didn't make it through,
because nothing's 100% bulletproof. Even like knives, like,
except for John Wick,
they can be somewhat resistant to slashes.
Yeah,
but stabs are a lot more difficult to protect against.
Yeah,
right, unless it's like a full plate.
Yeah,
so that's why I think a lot of the cases when they're using swords, it would slide off, but when they would go for a stab, it would be a lot more difficult to block that. But it was pretty cool because, like, then you get, like, we saw a lot of cool grappling techniques, even by the new character Akira in the movie. She was, like doing Spider-Man moves, like, over people to get around them, to get behind them and grapple them.
And the bows they used, oh my God. Some of the brutal death
they would scenes, get pinned to the
it
wall.
Was amazing.
It was cool. It's cool seeing these, like, classic weapons getting more limelight, other than guns, because guns obviously are overpowered compared to normal weapons. But in this case, because of the bulletproof suits, they had an excuse to use these more close, intimate type weapons.
Yeah. And like the bows were metal, sharpened metal tips, so that you can go through concrete and stuff. Yeah. It was great.
It was pretty cool. The combat in it was great. It had a mix of everything in terms of gunplay. They did do a lot of cool, like, not really cool, like in a lot of the movies, they do go over different technical aspects of guns. Like when they gave John Wick the gun, they would go over all the different features of the gun.
Yeah,
like they have that, and then they have like the good things for like martial artists with all the martial arts attacks.
The one thing I tried counting the bullets, right? the other John Wick movies, they were pretty good with the number of shots before you have to reload, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like in this one, they kind of forgot
how many caring.
Yeah, well,
are you thinking
caring.
About the when he's in the car without the door?
Specifically yeah, that scene too. That. Right?
I counted like something that's... like 21 of bullets.
No, that's how many shots there were. There it was a
how would do 21 bullets fit in a handgun like that size?
It was an extended clip.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it is a bit ridiculous. And
they're 9 mils, right? They're small bullets.
Yeah, there was a point in the Osaka set where I was going like, I've not seen anybody pick up a gun off the floor or like pick up ammo. It's just
because it's Japan, right? For no guns.
Yeah, it was only in, no, like they were shooting, like John was shooting a lot.
Yeah.
And it took him a while to pick up a gun off a dead body.
I've seen a couple of times where like when he ran out of ammo, he would just whip the gun at
the person.
And take their gun.
It took a while. Like, yeah, I'm sitting there going, like, I wonder where he keeps all the ammo, like, on his body or whatever.
Well, we saw at the end when he was taking off all his stuff.
Yeah.
He just had, like, a bunch of ammo cases just fall to the floor.
But speaking of which, the throwing of the gun. Mm-hmm. Every time John threw a gun at somebody, it was like being hit by a car. Like, yeah, the guy would, like fly back.
They got hit by, like, the bullets don't affect him.
Yeah.
But a gun.
But throwing a gun. At the person, it's like being hit with a cinder block.
That was hilarious. There are a lot of interesting. Obviously, it's an action movie, so there's gonna have like those like.
Yeah, if you're really nitty picky about the choreography, there were times like clearly you could see like, oh, okay, that should have been done faster, or they kind of messed up there, or maybe this was like the second or third shot of it, right? Like it's there if you look for it, right?
It's but like that. So is this a magic xylophone? I hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
There's what kind of reference is that?
Simpsons. Have you not? Do you not know what I'm talking about?
I don't think I do.
Yeah, I don't know. Xylophone.
So, I don't know. It's just like some itchy and scratchy like conference or whatever. And there's a Q&A panel. And then somebody stands up like, so there's this one episode where Itchy's making a xylophone out of Scratchy's ribs. And he plays one of the ribs and they make two different notes. I hope somebody got fired for that blunder. And then like, and then the animators are just sitting on the panel going like, I just want to die. I hate this.
Yeah, you can't be too nitty gritty with these movies in terms of details. I remember there was this one scene I found it hilarious. I actually laughed when I saw it. John Wick was fighting two people. It was in the Osaka place. He was fighting two people, and he would go back and forth between them. But there was one point where he was fighting one of the guys on the ground. The guy behind him, he would get up and then like do an exaggerated.
Oh
fall.
Yeah, against
he would,
the
like,
drum.
Fall against the drum, and he'd be like,
"Yeah."
Was that like the nunchuck?
Yeah, it was like during the nunchuck parts, and he was like frozen there for a while. As soon as John got up, then he's like, "Okay, I'm ready to punch." And then John would obviously block it, but it was really funny to see that in the background.
It just like because I was that was the one guy, right, that was actually affected by the bullets, right? Because every time he got shot, it looked like that bullet's force. Hit him back, right? Or it broke a rib or something. And like, he got shot on the face so many times because he was wearing a mask and helmet, right? It looked like he had a concussion, right? Yeah. But he was still trying to get up. But he was the only character that was like that.
Everyone else got up pretty quickly.
Yeah, either they got up or they just didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, those suits, though, they need to make those because those are, like, very bulletproof.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
Closing thoughts?
So closing thoughts, yeah.
All right, let's go through each piece of dialogue and rate each piece 10 out of 10.
To be fair, I think John Wick only had, or Keanu Reeves only had, like, maybe, like, 7 lines throughout the entire movie.
I think
movie.
You could probably fit all his lines on a page.
And most of the lines were only, like, 2 or 3 words.
Yeah,
if not one.
That's a good I'm gonna point. Need a gun.
Yeah, like, it's either I need a gun, or like just like standard things.
Literally, all the lines in the trailer were basically everything she said in the whole movie.
Is that the standard? I didn't even consider that. Like, I feel like he talks more, like a lot.
No, not really.
He barely ever talks. Only lines he says are like,
yeah,
either when he needs to respond or if he needs to say like a quick liner before killing someone. Like those are usually the only words he says. He's like,
"Are you ready?"
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm ready.
Like, everyone's like, "Kill as many people as you can." He's like, "Yes." And then runs off. Like it's he doesn't really have that many.
Like lines. Kane had more lines.
Kane had
way more lines.
Favorite character obviously for me is
Kane, Bowery. Definitely.
Kane and Bowery Kane. Martin Lawrence?
No,
Lawrence Fishburne. Martin Lawrence.
It's not because they look.
Oh my God,
Martin Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne. Every line he had was just funny. Like he would just say something, like wisecracking in some case, or like he's just so like
all hail the king.
Yeah, just all about himself. It was just funny, and he was the one that had like the most emotion out of anyone in the movie. But yeah, he was. One of my favorite characters.
Mine definitely Mr. Nobody, because he didn't even react like a stoic, super experienced thing person. Like when that beginning scene where he had to make like a blood oath or a blood promise or whatever, he's going like, "What the hell? What the hell is this?" He didn't seem intimidating or strong, but he is like on the level of John and Kane.
Yeah, he had a lot of reactions that a normal person would react in a sense.
Exactly.
Even like in a gunfight when he's getting phone calls, he would be visibly annoyed, like, "Why are you calling me?" he actually had normal reactions, which is, I guess, what makes him more relatable than like John Wick or Kane.
I like the villain too. The acting from
Bill Skarsgård.
It was great.
It was great. I loved it.
What's his name? Marquis something.
Yeah.
The Marquis. Well, I don't know if his name was Marquis.
I think it was his title. His title is Marquis. So there are like multiple people on the table who are Marquis.
I really want to know who sits at the table.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming John Wick 5 is going to be like that. My assumption was John Wick 5 is going to be John is going to have revenge on each of the members of the table, and like each fight scene will be targeting another member of the high table until they're all wiped out. But the way this movie ended, it's like, okay, maybe not. Okay. Well,
in the other movies, we saw the Elder who sits above the high table, right? I don't know the hierarchy of the underworld.
Yeah.
But and then they had in the second movie the sister that he had to assassinate. She had a seat at the high table, and then her brother got that seat. So, like, we know a few people. I don't know what the high table is, how many people are in the high table.
This would make a perfect video game.
Is there going to be a John Wick, like, Wikia that has, here are all the known members of the high table. Definitely. And then there's, like, this one's not canon. This one is from Oda's SBS.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The Marquis guy, like, they said that he, like, even John Wick didn't know who the Marquis is. He had to ask, right? He didn't recognize the symbol. He didn't even know what that word was. So before, they were a small group. They were just servants to the high table. And then they got escalated because they made a guarantee that they would kill John Wick.
Yeah, yeah. They were basically like the red stormtroopers.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. There's a lot of lore in John Wick. The one where he just retires and cuts lawns for the rest of his life. No, I'm joking. John Wick. But I don't know if I know they're making spinoffs, but I'm hoping there'd be more kind of.
I hope they come out with a video game that is called Lawn Wick, because that sounds like a pretty. That's a pretty good setup for a lawn maintenance company.
I think there is already like a lawn mowing simulator.
I need a company that's called Lawn Wick, and it's literally just dudes in suits saying, "We're gonna cut every blade of grass."
They're not even using lawnmowers; they're just using knives, just on the
floor. One by one. We're
professionals. Yeah, if they make a game, that'd be sick. I just thought of that.
It would be great. It'd be because especially when we had the Hotline Miami scene, right?
Yeah,
and like it's just it. This could be so perfectly turned into a game universe.
Yeah, right? Technically, one game that came in mind was like Max Payne. Like Max Payne would have been very similar. Right?
Technically, they did make a game called John Wick Hex. It wasn't very good, apparently.
What the heck was that? What was that released on?
I think it might have been like, you know, the Deus Ex Go type games, like the mobile games that are.
Oh.
I think they might have been like that, but I'm looking at screenshots right now, and it looks more in depth than that, but it doesn't look very highly reviewed.
Okay, I want like a proper
game. Yeah, like a full fledged.
Want a video game. Here's a video game. I should have specified. I want a good video game.
The release of this movie, it did really well. Like I forgot how much it made at the box office, but it was.
Well, it's only been out for this weekend so far.
I don't think the numbers are out.
It was for the weekend. It is.
Is it okay?
Yeah, I saw it. It was in terms of opening day weekend. It was the best in terms of all other John Wick movies.
Yeah, because they do a pre-showing usually on Thursday.
Yeah.
Friday's actual day.
It did pretty good. It's getting more like recognition internationally, and also with spin-offs coming out with it, the universe is getting bigger, so there could very well be a game in development, like right now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Never know.
So final thoughts?
That was great.
Great. Yeah, you definitely go watch it. I think it's one of the best action movies out there. Movie. Yeah.
Not my favorite, but I still think it's worth watching. Like, a great movie, fun movie.
You guys don't need to listen to Kuzar's opinion.
Yeah. I'm saying it's good. I like one of the other ones a little bit better. That's all I'm saying.
But the only thing that this movie is making me want more is I want the Sleeping Dog movie with Donnie Yen.
That was announced
like 7 years ago.
We're never getting that.
And it's been in production hell ever since.
Yeah, we're never getting that.
What do you think is coming out sooner, that or the Metal Gear Solid movie?
Neither. We're probably going to get the next John Wick before any of those.
Jason Isaac's going to be 70 by the time that comes out. He's going to be Metal Gear Solid 4 Snake in Shadow Moses.
Either way, I just really want that movie. Donnie Yen's great.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it for this episode. You guys have anything you want to add? No?
Farewell, Lance Reddick.
Farewell, Lance Reddick. But yes, that's going to be it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed. This was just a quick spoiler-free review of John Wick Chapter 4. If you guys have any feedback for us, or you guys want to give us your opinion on the movie, you can reach out to us at day1updatecast@gmail.com. That's DayONE, not the number one, updatecast@gmail.com, or our socials at day1updates for Twitter and Instagram. And thank you guys again for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed. If you guys did enjoy, please listen to our other episodes. We have a bunch of old episodes out there. You can listen to those. That's it. See you guys next week. Thanks.